Today's message is called Get the Spirit Moving. Getting the Spirit Moving. And I'm very excited about this message because we want to get the Spirit moving. Now, we can get filled with the Spirit of God. If we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, that's one thing. But what can sometimes happen is we start to focus so much on all the physical things, the Spirit of God kind of goes dormant. We have to remember to stir up the Spirit of God, get it moving in our lives. When we get the Spirit of God moving on the inside of us, miracles happen. That's when the incredible things happen. When the Spirit of God moves in your life, you can outrun a chariot and horses. Yeah, Elijah did that. The Spirit of God comes upon Elijah, and he outruns a horse and chariot. So you can be super fast when the Spirit of God is moving in your life. You can be outrunning horses. I don't know, that's pretty fast, because I remember as a kid, we used to go to the local fair every year. They would have these chariot and chuck wagon races. I don't know if they still do that today, but when I was a kid, my little town that I grew up in, they had that. And these chariots would just be racing so fast. I mean, they would just race around this track. I mean, it was incredible. So to imagine that you could actually outrun a horse and chariot, you know that it's got to be the power of God working your life. When the Spirit of God moves in you and starts to get stirred up and gets moving, you can have the strength to move mountains. Remember the guy Samson? Samson was incredibly powerful, but it was when the Spirit of God came upon him. That's when his strength was stirred up, and that's when he had superhuman strength. When the Spirit of God came upon him, he defeated 1,000 men. Him against 1,000. And that happened because the Spirit of God moved on him. It gave him superhuman strength. See, in our own physical body, we can train and we can practice and we can get our body all toned and fit. We can eat the right things and we can get it so honed and working well. But when we begin to have the Spirit of God work through us, now it's a whole other level. We're talking supernatural power, something beyond what your physical body is capable of doing. And you have to understand that this is something that God wants us to have. He wants us to have the Spirit of God moving in our lives all the time. All the time. Say all the time.
All the time.
But if we're not getting it moving, if we're not thinking about stirring it up, then we can get focused on all the physical things in our life, all the cares of the world. We can get focused on all the little things I need to do at the grocery store, all the items I've got to pick up, all those little kind of things. And we start to forget about the Spirit of God and getting it stirred up. Now we don't have access to that supernatural power if we're just focused on the physical things. And really, we want to have the ability to have the supernatural power right there at our disposal, get it activated and stirred up right away, because that's when incredible things happen. Get the Spirit moving.
Amen.
Get that Spirit moving, because that's when great things happen. Jesus had the Spirit moving all the time. Jesus was our example. He showed us what you could do. And he said, I don't do anything on my own. It's the Father within that does the work. So he was saying, I'm not doing any of these miracles. I'm not doing any of these healings. I'm not doing any of this stuff. It's the Spirit within, the Father within, meaning God within, that Spirit of God on the inside that's doing the work. I can do nothing of my own, he said. I can do nothing on my own. He was telling us it's the same way with us. When we get that Spirit on the inside, so that means everything that Jesus did, walking on water, healing the sick, raising the dead, being raised from the dead, all of that stuff, stopping wind, stopping waves, was all done by the Spirit of God. So that supernatural power, it wasn't done on a physical level. Yes, there was a physical body there, but it was a supernatural spirit that was within that God stirred up and was moving that created those miracles. That's how it happens. And this is something very important because this was the plan of God from the very beginning. The plan of God was for him to walk with us and to dwell with us. And when Adam stepped away from God, he separated himself from God's Spirit. He went into darkness. He fell, some people say. But it just means that suddenly now that supernatural power of God was no longer with him. And as a result of that, he didn't have authority anymore. He didn't have this power. And now he began to struggle in life. It began to become very difficult for him. But God never gave up for us. He said, I want to be with them. I want to have my spirit dwelling with you. I want my spirit to be with you so that you can have supernatural power, so that you have power and authority over sickness, over poverty, over falsity, over darkness, over evil. It doesn't matter what it is. But I want you to have that kind of power in your life. And so, by faith, when we believe in Jesus, when we believe that God came down into a body and walked on the earth and conquered everything, and then took all power and authority upon himself, when we believe in him, Jesus, now we receive that spirit. When we receive Jesus, then we receive the Spirit of God. It's like a gift now that comes into us. So that gift now enters us, and we are now filled with a new spirit. We become a new creature. We no longer have the old spirit. We get a new spirit. So the spirit we did have moves away. And we now receive the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of love. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. Some people call it the Holy Spirit. But still, it's a Spirit of God, which is a Spirit of love. This Spirit of love now is on the inside of us. And it can do incredible things, as I was saying. Can give you super strength, super speed. You can do things beyond the physical. All sickness has no power over the spirit. The spirit has power over sickness. Any limitations and blockages are broken down. Walls are broken down. Barriers are broken down when we get the Spirit of God moving. When we get the Spirit of God moving, you can do all things. That's when the impossible becomes possible, when you get the Spirit of God moving. Say amen to that.
Amen.
This is the power that God wanted us to have. See, he wanted to reconcile himself to us. He wanted to become one with us. And through us believing, through our faith, we are now joined to his spirit. And we become one with God. We are one and the same. Now, he promised his spirit would come upon the disciples. Now, listen to this. Let's go take a look here. And this is in Acts. And this is after Jesus has already resurrected, and he has come, and he's already talked to his disciples, and he has shown himself, and he showed the wounds that he had when he died. And now he's showing that he has risen again, and he's showing himself to the disciples. And he goes out, he takes them out of the city. And before he goes, though, he tells them this spirit is going to come. And here we are in Acts. He says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them, this is Jesus talking, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. They're supposed to wait for the promise. So God made a promise, and they're supposed to wait for that promise, which he said, you have heard from me. For John the Baptist truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's telling the disciples that they're going to be baptized not just by water, but by the Spirit, meaning the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will come upon them. And he tells them to wait. He's already commissioned them to go out and give a message, to share the gospel, to tell people about what he did and why he did it. But he is saying, don't go yet. In other words, don't go without the power. Wait until the power and the authority, the promise from God, comes to you. Once you have that Spirit of God, now you've got the power and the authority. You've got supernatural power now to go and share this message. But wait right now. Wait. And so the disciples went back. They went back and they were waiting. And they're in the upper room here. He says in verse 8 of that same chapter of Acts, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So once you receive that power, now you can go around the world and share the message. In other words, you can share this supernatural power and authority that God has given. You can bring that with you. It's no good going out without that power. Wait for it, is what he's saying. So they went back to the upper room. And there's the disciples, but now he's also talking, it says in the scriptures, there's about 120 people there together. And they're waiting for this. And in verse 14 it says, and these all continued, that this is the 120, they all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so they're all waiting in this, they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, if we jump ahead, it says here in Acts chapter 2, it talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. So they've been waiting. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here, this is where the Holy Spirit comes down upon them. They now have received the power, the promise that Jesus was talking about. Now, many of you have already received the Spirit of God. By believing in Jesus and having faith in Him, you've already received that Spirit of God. But what I want to really get at today is we got to get the Spirit moving. Because it's when the Spirit gets moving in us, because a lot of us have the Spirit sitting, and if it's just sitting there dormant, now we're not using the supernatural power that God has given us. We've got to get that Spirit moving. It's a Spirit of God, a Spirit of love, and that's when incredible miracles take place in your life. That's when the synchronicities begin to happen, when the Spirit of God is moving. I want to talk to you now, what can we do? What are the things we can do to get the Spirit moving? And we see a little bit of that when we look at the disciples, what they were doing as they were waiting for the Spirit. What were they doing? They were in this upper room. There's 120 people sitting in this room, and they're waiting. They're not just chatting about the weather. They're not just talking about, hey, you know, how was dinner? Oh, dinner was pretty good. Yeah. What'd you have? Oh, I had the fish and chips. Oh, really? How was it? It was fresh. That's not what they were talking about. I believe that these 120 people were very focused. They've got one mission. Jesus told them to go back and wait. And it talks about them being in prayer and supplication. So they're in one accord also. This means everybody has come into an agreement, and I think they said to each other, look, we're waiting for the promise of God right now. Everybody here, we're waiting for the promise of God. Can everybody agree on that? And everybody raised their hands and said, yep, we're waiting for the promise of God. So they're all in one accord, meaning they're all in agreement. They all have the same mindset. Their goal right now is we've got to receive this promise. Jesus said we got to go out and speak to the whole world, but we can't go until we all receive this Spirit. And everybody's sitting there, every single one. There's not one single person going, "Oh, I'm not sure we really want to receive the Spirit of God, you know. Maybe we should do something else. Maybe we should take a vote." They would tell that guy, "Get out of here. Get out." Cuz right now what we need to make this happen is we need everybody in agreement. Everybody in agreement. And it says they were all of one accord. If you're all of one accord, it's like an orchestra. If they're all playing in the same chord, right? It's harmonious. Everything is beautiful, and they make great music together. If you hear that one instrument that's not in a, you know, in a chord, the right chord, you hear it. It stands out. It's like, what is that guy playing? You know, he hit the wrong chord, right? But when everything's in accord, it's harmonious. This group, 120 people, are right now all in this upper room, and they're focused only on one thing. We've got to receive the promise of God. We've got to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they're praying, and they're thanking God. And I believe they're praising. I don't believe they're all serious about it. I think they've come back. They just have seen Jesus transcend and rise into the heavens. He has just showed that He resurrected. And I think they come back, and I think they are filled with excitement. And I think they're celebrating with one another, knowing what's happened. Wow, Jesus raised from the dead. Wow, the Holy Spirit is coming. Oh my God, the Holy Spirit is coming. And I think they're cheering and they're praising. They're saying, thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit coming. Thank you, God. This is a great thing that you're sending your Holy Spirit. We can't wait for the Holy Spirit. And I think they're high-fiving one another. You remember the high five? Is that still in the high five? I love the high five. I don't think it's in anymore. But I think people are, they're high-fiving one another, and they're cheering, and they're celebrating, and they're all focused on the same thing. They're having a party of prayer, and they have got themselves purified and cleansed, and now they're waiting for this big event to happen. And now it comes. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they hear the sound like a rushing mighty wind comes upon them. We don't need to have 120 people. We just need to have two people agree. Two or more gathered in my name, where two people can agree, when we could get into complete alignment and agreement on something, now great things can happen. The Spirit of God can begin to move in your life. This is number one. Number one, how do we get the Spirit of God to move in our life? Laughing. Laughing, giggling, celebration, dancing. The Spirit of God begins to move in our life in a spirit of praise and celebration. This is why at the beginning of services, we come together in one accord and we begin to sing songs. We begin to praise God and we thank God for the great week that we have. We talk about testimonials and the great things that God has done because we are trying to raise up a spirit of celebration and praise. And the more that we can get excited and understand that raising that spirit of celebration up, that the Spirit of God is going to move in us. Now remember, when the Spirit of God begins to move, great things happen. You can have supernatural strength, speed. You can be wise in things that you did not know that you knew. People can be healed. That's when the healings take place. Jesus, remember, he was moving in the Spirit. The Spirit had to move before any healings took place. People are being healed all the time around him. For us to make the Spirit move, number one, we got to laugh, giggle, be joyous, celebrate. Liza and I noticed this a few weeks ago. We were having a tough day. We were kind of planning this party for her birthday. And you know when you're planning, we were getting all focused in the physical. Oh, there's all these details. You got to pick up that. You got to go do that. Got to get this straightened, this pressed, you know, get there on time, right? You start getting all serious. And you start, as you get more serious, you get more tense. And as you get more tense, Spirit's not moving. But we went into this party store. It was Party City. And we walked into the party store, and there was a spirit of celebration in the store. And at first, it just seemed like a store with a bunch of hats and whistles and shiny things and whatever, you know, all that stuff they have in the balloons. But as we walked around, we started feeling the spirit of celebration. We're walking down the aisles, and we started feeling it. And I noticed my mind shifted. Suddenly, I felt light. Suddenly, I felt happy. Suddenly, I felt good. And when I left the store, Liza said the same thing. She came out and she said, "Oh, something happened to me when I was in the store. Suddenly, I'm feeling so good. I'm feeling so happy. I'm feeling like something incredible is happening." Already, you see, this is a key right here. The spirit of celebration, that celebrating and enjoying and praising brings that Holy Spirit energy. It begins to move it. That starts to move the Spirit of God. What am I saying? I'm saying you got to be celebrating and praising God all the time. Get that light spirit going. Get the light spirit going so that you can really feel light and good about everything that you're doing. Because that's when the Spirit of God, that's when the supernatural power begins to work. And everything starts to fall into alignment for you. It happens in that spirit. There are some people, you know, they're always so serious, always so uptight, always worried. This is why Jesus was saying, don't worry. He said, don't worry. Don't get anxious. Don't stress. Don't be filled with hate. See, he was already giving us clues. He was trying to tell us, all that stuff is not going to bring the kingdom of God. But when we celebrate and praise, see, he's trying to get us to eliminate all that other stuff, worry and anxiety and hatred, you know, and strife and talking badly about other people, gossiping, what's wrong with them. See, all of that creates a division. It creates divisiveness. But when we're talking about praising God, all the good things God is doing, talk about how many good things are in your life. I always tell you, write down a testimonial. I want you to start focusing on what are the good things that God is doing in your life. And the more you focus on the good that God is doing, you'll start to feel that celebration. You'll start to feel that praise go. And then the Spirit will begin to move. This will get the Spirit moving. I'll tell you, we went and celebrated Eliza's birthday, and there was dancing and there was music, and it was a celebration. And this stayed with me. I was humming, and I was humming these songs, and I was dancing around the house for the rest of the week. You know, because the Spirit already was moving, good things were happening. That's how it goes. We want to get that Spirit moving through giggling and laughing and singing. Get excited. Get excited. God wants us to be happy. Did you know that? God wants you to be happy. He doesn't want you walking around with a long face, depressed and pouting. He needs us to be happy because that's when His Spirit comes into alignment with us. That's when love begins to work. The Spirit of love begins to work when we have that kind of excitement and happiness. Ah, love it. You have a choice too. You get to choose. You know that? Some people say, well, Ted, that's just the kind of person I am. I'm depressed. You get to choose. God gives us free will, and you can choose how you want to be. You can choose whether you want to be all depressed and upset. You can choose whether you get angry at somebody or not. That's free choice. And sometimes it's a quick reaction, but you can choose, do I want to stay angry or do I want to let this go? That's your choice. You can stay. You can choose, do I want to keep being depressed or do I want to start celebrating life? That's a choice. And when you realize you're not a victim and there's nothing else that's making you do that, but it's your choice how you react to some situation. It's your choice how you react to somebody, the way they say it. And they could be insulting you and saying bad things about you. You can choose to ignore them. And you can choose to go right on celebrating life. Does it really matter what they're saying? No. And if you can stay in that spirit of celebration by choosing to be excited and laughing and having fun, you're going to notice you get that Spirit of God stirred up in you. And now something great happens. See, there's always stuff out there in the world that's trying to get us to be uptight and serious and depressed and upset. Why? Because that's going to stop the movement of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is here to change everything for the better. It's here to make this world a wonderful place of miracles, signs and wonders, possibilities. To make great dreams come true. But if we let all that other stuff, if we let it drag us down, then we don't have that joy and that happiness. And we lose the movement of the Spirit, the supernatural power. And now we become enchained. Because think about this. If you have supernatural power from God that gives you authority over all things and power over all things, nothing can stop you and no one can hold you. You are free. You are free to pursue your dreams. You are free to become who you're meant to be. You're free to do whatever it is that God is moving in your heart. And nothing can stop you and nobody can do anything about it. But if you let yourself, if you choose to be depressed or angry at that person, that guy that cut you off, you're upset with him. And you're angry about that for the rest of the day. And if you let anger and depression and worry be the things that you're focused on, it cuts you off from the supernatural power of God. And now you lose the authority, meaning you lose the freedom. And you become enslaved by all those emotions that have drug you down into the darkness. We got to get the Spirit moving. Get the Spirit moving. Feel yourself being joyous. Life is a celebration. God wants us to be praising Him and celebrating the miracles that He has created in our lives. We can get the Spirit moving by laughing and giggling. And let's share that with each other because you know what happens when one person starts to laugh? It makes somebody else laugh, doesn't it? You know, when someone starts to giggle, sometimes it's hard for you not to start to giggle. When someone's dancing, quite often you start getting the feeling you should start to dance, right? Do you notice that? It's contagious. It's really infectious. And we want to be going out there into the world and infecting them with something good, with giggles and laughs and excitement and celebration and praise. And we have free choice. And I choose it. Do you choose it? Choose to be with God. Choose to let the Spirit of God be stirred up in you so great things can happen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Number two, one accord. We got to be of one accord. And I already touched on this a little bit. But this is the second way to get the Spirit moving. We want to come together with other people that want to raise us up and lift us up to a new level. God's goal for us, He has a great plan for your life. He wants you to do amazing things. He has given you gifts. He's given you a purpose. And He's given you talents. And he's also provided the people that are necessary for you to fulfill your dream. It's all waiting for us. But we've got to use discernment and surround ourselves with the people who want to lift us up to new heights. We want to be with the other people who can say, yeah, I want you to be your best. Because when we come together with those people and they agree, yes, I'm believing for your dream. I'm believing for your best. Now they're in one accord with you. They're in one heart. They're in harmony with you. And when we get that harmony where we're agreeing, now the Spirit of God begins to move. This is another way to get the Spirit moving. You've got to come into harmony with people. Once again, sometimes what happens is divisiveness or strife comes between people. There are some people, they like to make arguments. And they'll be arguing with you. Everything you say, they say the opposite. Sometimes I don't even know if they believe what they're saying. They're just saying the opposite because they want to create an argument with you. Have you met those people? You know, they create strife. Some are trying to prove how smart they are, so they're in a debate with you. You know, and they just want to debate with you everything. They want to have this big debate where they disagree so they can see what you react to doing. Unfortunately, this is creating divisiveness and strife. If we let arguments begin to separate us, now we're not in one accord, we're not in harmony. If we're not in harmony, now the Spirit of God is not going to move. If the Spirit of God is not moving, now I don't have the power and the authority that I need to overcome all the problems and situations of the world. And if I don't have that, now I can't be what God created me to be. We have to keep get back to the same thing. If you have people in your life that just like to argue for the sake of arguing, you've got to put them away. Send them away from you because they're stealing your joy and your celebration. They're stealing the Spirit of God. Or you've got to turn them around and say, that's enough of that. You come into agreement with me. If you can agree with me, then we will be in this business together. We'll be in this project together. We'll be pursuing this dream together. But if you don't agree with me, I can't have you muddying the waters. I can't have you destroying the Spirit moving in my life. You've got to come together with other people that are in one accord, that are agreeing with you. You've got to have that like-mindedness because that's when the Spirit begins to move. If there's divisiveness in there, you've got to get it out. That also means that if you have an argument with a friend, you should make up with them quickly. Don't let it simmer all night long. It's often the case that we'll have misunderstandings with people, we'll get upset with them, we'll get angry with them, but make up with them quickly. Because you don't want that spirit of divisiveness and separation to be there. You want to come back into harmony as fast as you can. Get yourself into agreement with them. It's okay that we have misunderstandings and people get upset, but we want to get right back into, we're good friends, we're on the same path, we got the same goals, we want to reach the same destiny. Your dream is still possible. I still believe in your dream. I got upset over that one thing, but I still believe in your dream, and I still believe you can be the greatest, and I still believe you can make it to the top. We're still in alignment. And when you can patch that up quicker, the faster you can do that, now God is on your side. His Spirit begins to move in you and do great things. We got to have that Spirit being in one accord. So number two, be in one accord with those around you. Get into agreement with somebody. Surround yourself with the people who are going to believe for great things along with you. Because the more people you have surrounding you that are believing in your dream, that are believing that you can achieve it, and you're supporting them in the same way, the Spirit of God's going to move in a powerful way. Nothing can stand in your way when that supernatural power of God begins to move. Get the Spirit moving!
Amen.
Number three, I found that breathing does something also. Breathing is interesting. Number three is breathe. And I say this because back at the very beginning, when I first encountered the Holy Spirit, and my first experience with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came upon me, I began to breathe. My body just was breathing on its own. I couldn't stop it. It just kept breathing and breathing and breathing. This went on for like an hour. And all I could say was I felt the most beautiful feeling of love on the inside. So I know that the Spirit of God is connected with breathing. And we know that when we look in the Scripture too, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, God forms man. He forms him out of the dust of the earth. Here it says, he formed him of the dust of the ground And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Before that point, if you're just a physical being, you're not really living yet until God breathes his spirit into you. Something about the breath, that when we start to breathe, the Spirit of God begins to move. And I've noticed this a lot in my life. And here, the same thing happened with Adam. When he created him, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then he became a living being. He became a spiritual being. The Spirit began to move as he was breathing. And it says in another place here, this is interesting, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he says, and when he said this, he was talking to his disciples, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Right? So that's kind of interesting. I don't know. Why would you be breathing on somebody? Jesus is standing there with these other guys, the disciples. He's talking to them, and suddenly he's like, oh, what? Check my breath. Did I have too much garlic? Oh. It doesn't say that. He's asking him to check his breath. It says he breathed on them. See, he's breathing and says, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. When we begin to breathe, got to remember to breathe. As you start to breathe, let the Spirit begin to move in you. The Spirit will begin to move in you in a great way. Just breathe. Because God's breathing. And it's like a wind. What did it say here in Acts 2? When they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. It was like a mighty rushing wind that came. Again, it was like a breath of fresh air. This wind began to move in their life. And I believe that when we start to breathe, the Spirit begins to move with us. It starts to stir up the Spirit. It's another way to get the Spirit stirred up. So the more that we can do that, the more that we can get the Spirit moving. And this is my goal for you guys this week. As you go out there, I want you to think about that. You've already got the Spirit of God on the inside. It's already there. We got to get it stirred up, though. We got to get it moving. Because if we can get it moving, now you can do supernatural things. Some people just let it sit. Well, if it's the will of God, the Spirit will move. But it's our job to get it stirred up. We've already received it. God did his job in getting it to us, and now we've got to use it. And by using it, we got to get it stirred up first. As soon as it gets moving. Look, when the Spirit of God came upon Samson, that's when the strength came. And he began to use that strength right away to fight against the enemy. When the Spirit of God came on Elijah, he used it right away. He now could outrun those horse and chariots. Look at this. Paul and Silas are arrested. Paul is an apostle. He's spreading the gospel. And he gets arrested. And now he's sitting in prison. Him and Silas are sitting in prison overnight. And probably they're going to be executed in the morning. What would you be doing if you were sitting in this awful prison? This wasn't like one of these cushy prisons we have today. I mean, this was probably like a dungeon, a horrible, dirty place, probably flea-infested, rat-infested, you know, probably smelled horrible. They probably had no indoor plumbing back then, you know. And they're sitting in this place, and they're probably waiting for certain death in the morning, which is probably only a few hours away. What's Paul and Silas doing? Are they going, man, it's all your fault, Silas. We shouldn't have come here. You told us to walk down that street. If you hadn't done that, we wouldn't be in this place right now. Is that what they're doing? Nope, that's a spirit of divisiveness. It's not going to get the Spirit of God moving. Look what they're doing. This is interesting. This is in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. But at midnight, this is midnight, not too many hours to go till the sun comes up. And they're executed. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So they have broke out. They're having a great time celebrating and praising God. They're going, oh, thank you, God. You're a great God. We love you. And they're celebrating. And the rest of the prisoners, they probably first were saying, shut up. We're trying to sleep here. You know? But now after a while, they've become curious. And they're like, what are these guys doing? Because they just keep singing and celebrating and praising God. And they've got the attention of everybody in there. Now, notice, if everybody in the prison is listening to them, what does that mean? They're in one accord. They have gone from just two of them came into agreement, right? And they began to praise. So they were laughing, praising, celebrating. So we have number one. And now all the other prisoners are listening. That means they brought them into one accord with them. So now everybody's in agreement. They're all hearing about praising God and celebrating God. And I bet in the prisoners' hearts, imagine these, some of these prisoners have been in there for months and years. Suddenly they begin hearing joyous sounds. They start hearing these joyous sounds. I bet their heart were what felt good. It might have been like seeing the sun for the first time when you haven't seen it in a long time. They hear this joyous praising going on. But everybody's in one accord. And at that point, so they're listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. The Spirit of God, the supernatural power of God, came down upon that prison and shook it, and ripped open all the doors, and broke off all the chains, and Paul and Silas are free. They got free not through grumbling and complaining with one another, not through beating up the other prisoners, saying, I'm going to make a reputation for myself, right? They got free through praising and bringing everybody together into one accord, and the Spirit of God now could move upon this place, and it set them free. God does the same thing in our life. He can set us free in the same way. We just have to allow Him by praising Him. Say amen to that. Amen. This is what God is doing, wants to do for us all the time. We've already got the Spirit of God inside of us. The Spirit of God's already there. Now we just got to get it moving. I want you to go out there this week and just think about, I'm going to get the Spirit moving. Get the Spirit moving. That means if any other thoughts try to come in, like grumpiness in the morning, nope, throw that away. And start to get back into celebrating and praising God. If you're thinking, you know, starting to talk to somebody who's grumbling and complaining how bad life is, feel free to call me or text me. And I'll agree with you that life is good. I'll celebrate with you that you're going to achieve your dream. Don't listen to that naysayer. Start to celebrate with me. Let's come into one accord and agreement. Because now something can happen. And breathe. Just keep breathing and knowing the Spirit is moving with you as you're breathing. God is breathing into you. He's breathing new life into you. He's breathing new opportunities into you. He's breathing new strength into you. You can do all things when the Spirit of God is moving. You can have superhuman strength and speed. You can have wisdom beyond belief. This is what God wants you to have in your life to overcome all the things of this world in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen.